Recorded live from the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Pelias Pecans.
Awesome!
The Soft Verbal Podcast, your ticket to the latest, most accurate Ole Miss football recruiting information. No spin, no false hopes, just facts from the recruiting trail from RebelGrove.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Caution, you are about to enter the no spin zone.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
God, here we go again.
Welcome into another edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. I'm your host, Neil McCready. Russell Johnson of Rivals.com and RebelGrove.com is here with us as always. Today, we will get to the RebelGrove.com message board questions. It's camp season. We're going to get right into the recruiting in a minute. Probably going to do about 30 to 40 minutes and then shut her down so Russell can get back to work on camp things. It's a busy Thursday as we tape this on MPW Digital Media. So we got a lot going on. Chase Parham's out doing media day. We've got other podcasts to tape. So we'll get to the recruiting in a minute. First, let me tell you about Billy's Pecans. Billy's Pecans is a perfect way, a perfect place to handle all of your corporate gifting, all of your thank yous. They know the perfect crunch for every palate, whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, tokens of goodwill for a referral, whether it's five orders or 5,000 orders or anything in between. Billy's Pecans can handle it with expertise and excellence, all with their signature Southern style and with items at every price point you can't choose wrong. You can get the assorted gift bags with different types of pecans. You can get the best-selling party trio, again, three pecan treats. They're all awesome. I love the just the toasted ones. I love the cinnamon spice, the chocolate pecans. If you want to get something a little sweeter, you can do that as well. And what they'll do is they'll customize your packaging with your company or organization's logo affixed as a sticker to their round boxes so your brand is front of mind and their decadent flavors are there to back it up. Homemade treats, easy ordering, professionally packaged, shipped fresh and direct. It's the process of doing business with Billy's Pecans and more, and it couldn't be any more satisfying. It's billyspecans.com or 1-800-624-7404. You can email them at info, that's I-N-F-O, at billyspecans.com. Russell, how are you?
Doing good. Like you said, it's the busy season. I think yesterday my phone died five times before 6 p.m. So it's picked up pretty quickly. Obviously, I was a little bit away last week, but my phone was still going. And this week, it's been nuts all week.
All right. Let's get to the questions as we get started. And there we go. All right. These are your questions to yourself.
That's right.
I will ask so that you can answer them and it won't sound so funky. How important will quarterback participation be since Ole Miss already has its 2019 quarterback?
We'll see. The 7-on-7 tournament is going to have quite a few quarterbacks. I believe 2019 quarterback KJ Jefferson, who recently committed to Arkansas, will be back on campus, but it'll only be to compete in the 7-on-7 tournament, I guess you could call it. But from an underclassman quarterback standpoint, you've got Jacoby Criswell, a quarterback from Arkansas who's got offers from all over the country. And then you've got 2020 quarterback Mike Wright from Woodward Academy in Georgia. He's going to be here at some point this month. Will Rogers from Brandon, the quarterback, he'll be on campus again. But like you were saying, with the quarterback participation, it's going to be a little bit of a lower level because you don't want to invite all of these top 2019 quarterbacks to come camp because they're going to get disappointed. They could get their hopes up. High school coaches could get their hopes up that this kid's going to get an offer. And the only way they could possibly take two quote-unquote quarterbacks is if they get John Rhys Plumlee from Oak Grove. But they don't seem to be willing to do that right now. So that's going to be interesting, especially with the large need at receiver, seeing who's going to be throwing these passes to them this weekend.
What about the 2020 picture?
The 2020 quarterback picture, like I was talking about with Will Rogers, and then you've got Jacoby Criswell, the quarterback from Arkansas. Those two are both going to be on campus this weekend. Criswell is going to be interesting to see him throw. I know Longo's been high on him for a while. And then there's a couple quarterbacks from Texas who may or may not end up making it this weekend. And if they don't, it might hurt, like I said, a little bit of the wide receiver numbers because of who's going to throw them the ball.
What running backs could leave with a committable offer if they have a big camp that don't already have one?
See, this is where things get interesting because you've got Jerrion Ealy committed, and you know you've got the baseball picture. You've also got other schools actively recruiting him heavily. You've got Alabama, Clemson, all schools all over the country are still interested in him and working to flip him. But you know you've got running backs like Amonte Spivey from Alabama. He camped at the Rivals camp in Mobile and did really well. And he's going to be someone interesting. I wasn't expecting him to camp, but then I kind of got word earlier this week that he was coming, and I was like, you know, that's going to be great because he's a great out-of-state option for them. If they either strike out on their in-state targets like Snoop Connor and Zias Perryman and Rodriguez Clark, or if, you know, that maybe they're not as impressed with those as they could be. With Rodriguez Clark, you know, he's kind of started to see his stock rise in the recent weeks. He had a really good spring game against Whitehaven. I know that really doesn't matter in the thick of things, but he looked good. And when coaches saw him this spring, they were impressed. Snoop Connor's got to show his ability to be a true running back, because at Hattiesburg last year, he played quarterback. And this year, he's probably going to play a little bit of quarterback. And for him to show the ability to be an SEC running back, you know, he let's just put it bluntly, he's not Cam Akers. And you know, he doesn't show the flashes that are necessary while playing quarterback that he could be an SEC West running back.
What does Jonathan Mingo have left to prove? He goes into camps, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, I'm sure some others, but those three in particular, what's he have to prove at this point?
Well, he got the offer from Georgia this spring when he went out there for a visit. And I don't know, this is being taped on Thursday, and I posted this morning. It went up, I believe, late last night, but Mingo gained his fourth star on Rivals.com. either yesterday or this morning, and that's been big for him. He's been somebody who has completely risen up boards. I would say he's the best receiver in the state, which is saying something when you've got Dannis Jackson in the state. But what Mingo needs to show these schools is his speed. I mean, he's got the route running, he's got the hands, he's got the ball skills, and he's got the football IQ in general, but it's just a matter of, you know, what his 40 time is going to be and how he looks, you know, running the 40. If he's running a 4.7 like a couple receivers did last year during camp season, things are going to cool down quickly. But if he's able to put the 4.4, the low 4.3s up like he's been talking about, things are going to happen real quick.
There's an offensive line target that has set an official visit.
Yes.
He's got a decision timeline. Fill us in.
Yeah, it's been interesting to see. I've never seen NC State and Ole Miss go at each other for recruits as much as they are right now.
It's ironic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Carter Colquitt from Buford, Georgia, you know, they've offered that entire offensive line. He's got his quarterback will be here this weekend, the freshman in high school. Carter Colquitt's between North Carolina State and Ole Miss. Next weekend, he will be in Oxford for his official visit. He was up here earlier this spring. He wants to take his official. He'll be the first spring official, and that's kind of when things are going to get a little weary because they've been trying to avoid it. And I think once recruits see that Colquitt's coming in for an official visit, they're going to be like, hey, why can't I take an official? And that things could get either a little hostile, or, you know, that they already have a way that they're going to smooth that over, because a lot of kids want to take official visits to Ole Miss this summer, and a lot of kids have been told no.
Why are kids wanting to do official visits in the summer? You're eliminating your opportunity to do it in the fall, and you're eliminating, let's keep this all real, not at Ole Miss necessarily, but at programs around the country, at the end of the season, there's going to be change. There are going to be head coaches that change. Coordinators are going to change. Position coaches are going to change. Why would you want to take the official visit now and not later when you know more about, and this isn't about Ole Miss, this is in general, anywhere, Purdue, yeah, Eastern Michigan, Ohio State, Florida State, Arizona State, wherever.
Yeah.
And things are going to change. Exactly. The look of a program is going to be different in December than it is in June.
These kids are so short-sighted. Let's just put it bluntly. They're short-sighted, and they're worried about the here and now. Like, these kids taking official visits to Memphis, they have no idea if Norvell is going to be the coach in December. That's why you see, you know, kids make these early commitments, and you see maybe greater than 50% of the time right now, they're not lasting. These commitments are lasting maybe a month or two. But
you're using up your visits.
Exactly. And when that happens you run out, you're done. I mean, a lot of kids that I've talked to, they want to take maybe two or three officials and save the other two for the regular season. There's a athlete, I guess we'll call him an athlete. He's a linebacker on Ole Miss's board, a running back on everybody else's, Aiden Robbins. And with him, he's taking officials to all four places in his top five. The only place in his top five he won't visit is Ole Miss, because they won't let him officially visit. And once he gets word that Carter Colquitt's coming for an official visit, someone's going to have to answer some questions.
Linebacker recruiting.
Linebacker recruiting. This is always a topic. It should be a topic given every week. I should pin it to the top of every question thread. You know, N'Kobe Dean will be on campus this weekend. Yeah, right. You know, he's a brand new name. Never heard of him.
Oh, I hadn't heard of that guy. Go ahead, and while you're at it, go ahead and update us on his Dean. You said
yes, N'Kobe Dean.
N'Kobe Dean. It's a good name.
It is. You know, 4-star Rivals 100 linebacker.
How about that?
Yeah.
Go ahead. So, how's it going with him?
Things are changing with him. He's got his mother's been talking to media since going to Georgia, and his mother is not afraid to say that Georgia leads right now, and that's kind of raised some eyebrows, especially in the state of Mississippi, where everybody for the longest time had thought that Ole Miss was, you know, in the driver's seat. But, you know, once they see that and seeing how important these visits are and, you know, getting his family on campus and everything, that's what's going to be important for him. You know, he'll be competing as well in the 7-on-7 tournament for Horn Lake. And for an inside linebacker like Dean is, it's going to be interesting to see how well he's able to move in that situation and in that environment.
So other than Dean, linebacker recruiting, who are the guys that come to mind?
Let's see. You've got Mika Ayu from Hawaii. He's going to come this not this weekend, but this summer at some point in camp and workout. Summerall's really high on him. He's one of the few Power 5 schools that have really, you know, honed in on him. And he's got Ben Agamawa, maybe pronunciation, but, you know, he's got that coach also in on him as well. And, you know, the two have worked quite a bit. And I would say Ole Miss is either near the top or at the top of his recruitment right now. And other than that, you know, you really just kind of got to wait and see because there's so many variables going on. You've got Kendall McCollum from Oxford, who, you know, was near the top of the board with Clemson and LSU also in the picture. And then, you know, you saw him at Oxford at Vaught Hemingway Stadium at his spring game, and you just weren't blown away by him and were like, oh my goodness, Ole Miss has to sign him. He can start tomorrow. And once you hit that, you know, you've also got Richard Kinley from Lausanne, a linebacker slash DN target who is going to camp this weekend. You know, being able to see him and see how he works out and everything is going to be big. But, you know, the linebacker picture is going to continue to gain clarity. They're going to need to sign as many as 4 or 5 in this class. So, you know, it's going to be a priority. And signing Dean is still the number one, obviously.
What do they do at these camps? Is it mostly it's not all football. There's a lot of let's hang out and get to know each other and chill and
there's a lot
build
of
relationships.
Yeah, you'll see the coaches walking around with their arm around a player, you know, talking to them. You know, just getting to know them. A lot of communication with the parents. And then usually what happens is in between the first session and the second session, you'll have this brief period of time where the players will go into the coaches' offices. And, you know, if they impress and they didn't have an offer, that's normally when, you know, at least last year, Hugh Freeze would be like, you have an offer to play for us, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm not exactly sure how Luke's going to do it because this is his first camp season. And seeing the way he maneuvers it and does everything is going to be interesting because I don't – like with Freeze's entire family would be around, you know, during the camps. And I don't see Luke doing that.
What about JUCOs? How many JUCO signees could Ole Miss take in this class? Just – for depth and other reasons.
Well, see, I mean, with depth, you know, at receiver especially, you know, you're going to have to sign several receivers. And there aren't necessarily that many high school level caliber receivers that are ready to play in the SEC. So, you know, with that, linebacker, defensive line, potentially offensive line, tight end, there's needs all over the field. And, you know, at some of those, you're going to have to fill them in with JUCOs. Right now, my guess would be around 5. I know right now they have 3, if you count Tarekius Tisdale, which I know someone asked for an update on. I fully expect him to be on campus in the fall. There's just some things going on with that in terms of Northwest trying to get him to – they want him to play this year at Northwest. So seeing Northwest and Ole Miss kind of go back and forth a little bit, you know, and trying to make ends meet and to make Tisdale eligible to get his 6 hours he needs in order to play in Oxford in the fall. But so I would say between 5 and 7, 7 at the absolute max, especially with the hole in the secondary left by 2018 signee Cam White not making it.
You ask yourself in this thread, could Ole Miss really sign 5 wide receivers?
Yeah.
I would think so, right? Because yeah. AJ's going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Van Jefferson transferred. DeMarcus Lodge is a senior.
That's right.
It's a possibility that DK Metcalf leaves.
That's right.
I would think, yeah, that's a high priority position.
Yeah, it is a high priority position. And like I was saying, you know, you've got Javonte Payton, who had signed in the class of 2017, committed currently for the class of 2019. And he's been impressive at Northwest so far, and I expect him to have an even bigger year this season. He was actually rated a 2-star in Rivals until last week and got bumped up to a 3-star, which was good for him. I think he is a 3-star prospect, as he was in high school. But five receivers is something that is kind of eye-popping to a lot of people. I know some people were making jokes about it on the message board just yesterday. But, you know, like you said, when you're losing A.J. Brown, potentially D.K. Metcalf, definitely DeMarcus Lodge, you don't want to have to count on, you know, all the receivers you signed in the class of 2018 to be ready to make an impact right away, which is why you signed JUCO kids like Javonte Payton. There's a kid at East Mississippi who I think they're going to start looking at, and Dontario Drummond, 2019 receiver. Depending on how he runs, he might end up with an offer and could very well end up at Ole Miss. I know Arkansas offered him yesterday, so that's going to be interesting to keep an eye on as well. Because you don't want to sign high school caliber receivers like, let's say, for example, Kevin Barnett, who tore his ACL this spring at Oak Grove. You don't want to sign him unless you absolutely feel that he is going to live up to the expectations that he had prior to his knee injury. Because last year they got caught in that with DeMarcus Gregory when Gregory committed before everything happened with Freeze, and they felt a real sense of loyalty when they kept it with him and he kept it with them, especially when schools like Florida were coming at him.
So this weekend coming up, a lot of high profile kids coming in. Anyone pull the trigger and commit, in your opinion?
I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance that Mingo commits, depending on how the visit goes, depending on how he works out. I mean, he has a committable offer coming into the weekend. His offer could even become more committable, like I said, depending on his 40 time. But, you know, he'd be the one I'd watch. And then I'd also put a couple kids on flip watch who are committed elsewhere, especially the kid from Provine, Diamante Russell. Him coming to the first camp weekend for Ole Miss is huge, even with his commitment to Mississippi State. I saw him this spring, and he had told me, you know, my recruitment's far from over. And, you know, a lot of kids say that, and then they, you know, just say it to say it for, you know, attention and retweets and likes on Twitter. But
no.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
You'd be stunned. And then, but you know, his actions are showing true with his words.
All right. Speaking of Twitter, I saw on Twitter where Mike Norvell was talking about they have a camp like the Terrifying Tiger Camp or something coming up in Memphis.
The Memphis Mega Camp.
Sorry. They're having the Terrifying Tiger Camp. And, I think he was welcoming like Tennessee Tech and Ole Miss and maybe somebody else.
Have you seen the list of schools for that camp?
No, I haven't. How does that work?
You have like 1,500, 1,400 kids, and you've got 30 or 40 schools, and you've got coaches from these schools coming to this camp. You know, the mega camp is going to be especially big. It's good that Ole Miss is getting in on it because you don't want to have to compete that same day with the camp attendance, because the last thing you want is to have maybe 15 to 20 kids at a camp because they're all at the mega camp. Now, they're still probably going to hold both camps, which is kind of interesting. I don't agree with it whatsoever, but they'll be sending Maurice Harris up there at least, if not more. Maybe Summerall might go up there as well, but right as of right now, Maurice Harris is the only coach planned to go there. But then you've got schools all over the SEC, all over the Big 12 who are going to be in attendance. So that's a big camp. Norvell loves those things. I believe the Memphis staff might actually also be at one of the camps this weekend in Oxford.
I always find that interesting. I don't know why, that you get the kids on your campus and you invite the other coaches. I mean, I'd get it like if you're, say, Ole Miss and you like let the coaches from Mississippi Valley and Delta State come. Right.
Right. Yeah,
because,
exactly.
you're saying, hey, we got these kids coming, and this kid's not an SEC player, but we think he's a good player. He can play for you. But when you invite, like if you're Memphis and you invite Ole Miss up,
yeah,
that seems odd.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I don't think Kermit would invite Penny. Do you? Do you think he would invite Penny Hardaway to a camp?
I'm going to guess not.
No, I wouldn't either. So that's an interesting, like from a competitive standpoint, that is an interesting thing, especially because in recent years, Ole Miss has lost recruits to Memphis.
Maybe it's Memphis's way of saying, we ain't scared.
Probably, maybe. I mean, you know, especially thinking of how close potentially Norvell was to leaving Memphis. You know, being around all of those Power Five coaches has to be some kind. Make him feel some type of way.
Interesting that he stayed at Memphis, turned down all those other offers. What, those offers didn't come? Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to get to your questions in just a minute. First, let me tell you that this podcast is also brought to you by the Storage Acquisition Group. The Storage Acquisition Group is an industry-leading expert at identifying and acquiring strategically located storage facilities throughout North America and beyond. As the preferred buyer for one of the largest private owners of self-storage in the world, Director Monty Spencer and his team have upended the acquisitions market by giving facility owners a new avenue to divest. How exactly can self-storage facility owners benefit? It's simple. The group buys direct and charges no commission or fees. Their free, no-obligation evaluation even means that you can get a comprehensive picture of your property's value without the need to commit. If you're thinking, yeah, but I don't own a self-storage facility, I was just enjoying the podcast. Well, listen to this. Even if you're not an owner, you can benefit too. The Storage Acquisition Group's buyer has a generous referral program in place for referrals that lead to a closed transaction. Visit www.thestorageacquisitiongroup.com to find out more. All right, let's get into the interactive portion of this here podcast.
That's right.
Is Ole Miss losing recruiting momentum heading into the summer? Referring to players such as Dean, I think you said his first name is Nakobe.
Yeah.
Handy, Jackson, Hall, Turnage, or even Mr. Et cetera.
Mr. Et cetera. You know, with some of those kids, you know, Handy right now is focused on his academics. He transferred from Perry Central to Hattiesburg. That should become official, I believe, next week when they start summer classes. And he's really focused on that, it seems. I'm not sure he's going to take as many visits as you would expect someone with as high a profile as he is. Now, he's somebody who also has said in the past that he wanted to take summer officials. So, you know, you kind of got to take it one way or the other. He may try to balance school and recruiting, but right now I think his main focus is school. Dennis Jackson, he played baseball. Baseball really affected his spring because he wasn't able to go anywhere. Ely got those weeks off where he would go places and show up places really without telling anybody. But with Jackson was focused on baseball and only focused on baseball for such a long time that he wasn't really able to do so. And then a couple weeks ago, he showed up at Florida, which was kind of interesting, him and Pickering. I would, if I was Ole Miss, I would completely, you know, hone in on Jackson and just maybe have a glimmer of hope that if they're able to get Jackson committed in the summer, that possibly that reopens things with Pickering. But I wouldn't spend as much time on Nathan Pickering as I would other targets such as Demonte Russell, Jaron Handy, you know, other defensive linemen, Byron Young. Getting back in the game on Byron Young is critical for Ole Miss, especially with the need they have on the defensive line. Turnage is literally down the street. He'll be back on campus this weekend for the 7-on-7 portion of the tournament.
Well, not literally down the street, because they're like just developing this neighborhood behind me.
He's not literally down the street from the Clark Ford studio, but he's pretty close.
He is close.
He's within a 15-minute radius, and with that, anytime he gets a chance to go to Ole Miss, he does. He's got some Ole Miss ties in his family. Parents, cousins, uncles, brothers. His cousin's DK Metcalf, and Ole Miss plans to use that this summer as much as they possibly can to get him on campus for workouts, to get him more acclimated with the staff. I mean, they're recruiting him as an athlete, which they're one of the only schools that's doing that. They're recruiting him as a receiver and a corner, which is really eye-opening to him because, you know, Alabama has him committed as a corner. So it's interesting to see what happens with that. Derek Hall's got a lot of Mississippi State people around him. Right now, everybody says his top two is Mississippi State and Auburn. LSU pulled the trigger last week, and they're a school to watch. Ole Miss is on the outside looking in on him, but I wouldn't say that necessarily they're losing momentum. I would say that you need to take a step back and look at the calendar. What's today's date?
May the 31st. It's May the 31st, 2018.
Yes, exactly. So you kind of just got to take a step back and realize that these kids are going to talk. These kids are going to talk, and things are going to change. They're going to go to. They're going to go visit offers that they've had on the table for quite some time. They're not going to be committable anymore once they see them camp. And once that happens, things are going to change quickly. You know, guys who are all in on Alabama in the past, when Alabama sees them camp, and they're like, you know what? No thanks. Things are going to change.
Any update on T. Tisdale?
Yes, like I was saying, Tarekius Tisdale, he's got six hours he has to complete at Northwest. Yeah. He's going to do it in the second term, which kind of has Ole Miss people nervous because it's so close to the start of fall camp. He literally would finish class, I think, a week or two before reporting to Oxford potentially. So if he doesn't pass that class, he's obviously going to be at Northwest next year.
What's the class?
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, but Northwest wants him to play there. That's what I was saying earlier. Northwest wants him to play there this season.
So you think they could sabotage his class?
If they did, they would sabotage their relationship with the Ole Miss coaches, so that would not be a smart idea, being, what, 45 minutes from campus?
I mean, it's not hard to pass a JUCO class, right?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, that would be like getting a degree from ULM.
Your words, not mine.
Sir, do you have a pulse? I do. Here's your degree.
See? You would think a JUCO class wouldn't be difficult. So, I mean, we'll see how he does. I mean, he's not an Ivy League scholar by any means.
Top five players you're most excited to see in camp.
Eric Gray, Lausanne, running back. Demonte Russell, defensive end, Provine. Kevion Mullins, athlete, Whitehaven. Decommitted from Memphis yesterday. That's been in the cards for a little while. Had some family things going on with Mullins. Mullins' family's doing better, so he's starting to look at options outside of the 901. Tamoria McDonald is somebody who I'm really excited to see. 2020 safety from, Whitehaven. His recruitment is just starting to pick up. Southern Miss offered this spring. And then really, the defensive end who I have been excited to see, I saw him in his spring game against Whitehaven, Jaleel Clemens at Starkville. Offering him right now would prove highly beneficial in not only the potential in-state battle with Mississippi State if they ever do decide to offer, but Tennessee's in that picture as well. And, you know, getting Clemens on campus, seeing him work out, that's something I'm really excited to see because I want to see if he's going to be an outside or inside guy at the next level because he's got the size to stay on the outside, but he's also got the moves from the inside to stay at tackle.
Can Ole Miss get Jamon Gordon back as a commit, or is he Auburn bound?
As of today, May 31st, 2018.
The year of our Lord.
That's right.
Yes.
Jamon Gordon is going to Auburn.
Okay.
Meridian and Ole Miss, they've kind of frayed a little bit. I mean, you know, with Coach Hampton there, things have always thought to be, you know, pretty optimistic towards Ole Miss. But that's changed in recent weeks and months. Obviously, you saw DeAndre Hyman last year committed his entire senior season and then opened things up, ended up at Southern Miss. And then you've got Jamon Gordon, and then Auburn's kind of flirting with the idea of offering their athlete who plays quarterback there, T. Adams. If they offer T. Adams, that's a sign that they know they're getting Jamon or that they feel a little bit of the pressure because Mississippi State offered Jamon last week. And when Mississippi State offered Jamon last week, you know, that – going back to Jaleel Clemens, that raised some eyebrows. He was not too pleased, you know, because they played the same position, and you know he felt a little bit slighted. But with Gordon, as of right now, you can say May 31st, whatever time it is. I think he goes to Auburn.
You've kind of answered this. I'm not going to mention all the kids.
Please don't. You might run out of breath.
Do you agree Ole Miss is struggling with elite in-state defensive line and linebacker targets as a rule, and is there any commonality there?
I mean, the linebacker situation at Ole Miss and recruiting is baffling. For someone like myself, you know, I moved down here almost a year ago. It's been amazing to see just I don't know if it's ineptitude or what. A lot of people try to blame the fact that Ole Miss runs the 4-2-5, and I'm like, no, because everybody runs the 4-2-5 at some point during a game.
Shouldn't they, in their official publications and stuff, start listing it as a 4-3?
Yes. Exactly, because the more you list the 4-2-5, the more people are going to play the blame game with that.
It is such a simple fix.
Yeah, it is, because you're running the 4-3 the majority of the time. It's just when you need the nickel, you use the nickel.
And everybody's using nickel all the time. Everybody's running the same stuff. Just label it a 4-3 and be done with it. And call it outside linebacker and middle linebacker. And what you call it internally doesn't really matter. You do whatever you want. I mean, call it Sam, Mike, Jimmy, Joe, Stinger, Bandit.
Everybody wants to say the Bandit, the Star, the Robber.
I mean, all that stuff. You can do all that in practice.
Right, exactly.
Cool.
And you know, keeping that not under wraps, but, you know, keeping that between the team is something that's important, especially, you know, like you're talking about with these defensive linemen and linebackers. I mean, you saw the need for a defensive line in last year's class where they were able to sign four-star Noah Jefferson, who is either enrolled or expected to enroll in the coming weeks. But he's going to be an instant impact there. And, you know, I wouldn't say they're struggling right now. I would say that they need a big month. They need to impress these kids. They need to show them that things are different. They're not going to go, they don't want to go 6-6 again. I mean, obviously they don't want to, but I'm saying that, you know, they're not going to go 6-6 again. And, you know, that's going to be tough from at least in my perspective, looking at the schedule. But if they can get the kids to believe that, that might help them.
I don't want Forrest to think I'm dodging his question. His question is Mike Farrell a true believer that college football is an amateur sport, or was he being intellectually dishonest when he talked about Ole Miss being cheaters? I have no idea what Mike believes or doesn't believe. I'm sure Mike is sophisticated enough to know that everyone, quote, cheats, end quote, in college athletics.
I mean, you would think with the amount of resources and everything that, you know, someone at his level of position would have.
That. Yeah. Was he being intellectually dishonest when he talked about Ole Miss being cheaters? Look, my only problem with Farrell, and I've told Mike this, so I'm not speaking out of school, is if he had that belief back in 13 and 14, he could have either expressed it at that time or just left it alone. And to come back later and go, I always knew they were cheating, is a cheap shot. Always knew they were cheating. Well, you never indicated that you knew that. That was my only problem with Farrell. And the fact that I've said that to Mike allows me to say that here so that I'm not speaking out of school. I will, on the flip side of this, say that sometimes some of the backlash on RebelGrove.com towards Farrell when he writes things that are quite favorable about Ole Miss seems over the top. But you're entitled to your opinions. We've allowed you to express those opinions. I will continue to allow you to express those opinions. But when Farrell, who is a national person on Rivals.com, writes something that I believe is either fair or complimentary towards Ole Miss, we're not going to be the people that buckle down and go, we're not publishing it because you wrote one thing that was really incendiary and you were confronted about it.
That's right.
That's the stance.
Yeah, and stop reporting it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If you had to say today what kind of class Ole Miss is mostly looking at, would you say it's top 5, top 10, top 15, top 20, or top 25 or worse?
They're assuming
six wins.
See, I was just talking about how they don't want to go 6-6 again. If they go 6-6
again, I really disagree on this. You and I agree on so many things, but Jeffrey and I were having this conversation this morning on the Oxford Exxon podcast. And you know me, you've worked with me for a while now. Yeah. I'm a big believer in you are entitled to your opinion, and I'm not saying I'm right and you're wrong or vice versa. I don't think there's a hill of beans difference in what's going to happen with the recruiting class positively or negatively between 6-6 and 5-7. I really don't. Or 6-6 and 7-5. And I don't think this team's doing an extreme. And if you told me they went 3-9, I'd go, okay, well, that's not good.
Right.
And if you told me they went 9-3, 10-2, I'd be like, wow, it's pretty impressive. But I think the odds are overwhelming. This football team either goes 5-7, 6-6, or 7-5. And I don't think there's any difference in that group.
It depends who you beat. I mean, if you're beating a beat-down LSU team, if you're beating Texas Tech, if you're beating, obviously, you know, you're not going to beat Alabama. You're not going to beat Auburn. If you beat Arkansas, that's going to be at least semi-big right now because of the momentum they have in the city of Memphis. I mean, it depends what games you're winning. But if, let's say you win six games and you win the six games you're supposed to win, you know, you beat Vanderbilt, you beat Texas Tech, you beat LSU, you know, if you win those six games, I'm eliminating A, B, and C, and I'm going probably D top 20. But it depends because, you know, like I'm saying, it depends what games you're winning and how bad you're losing. You know, you can't afford a 66-3 drubbing.
I guess what I'm saying is N'Kobe Dean is not going to not go to Ole Miss because Ole Miss lost in Little Rock 27-24. He's not going to not go to Ole Miss because Ole Miss lost at LSU 30-23. Any more than he's going to say, oh, okay, well, Ole Miss beat South Carolina. Well, that's it, I'm going. I don't buy that. I've never bought that. I think it comes down to relationships and fit and personalities and things like that far more than it does outcomes of games.
I mean, I you're like you said, you're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah, that's my experience. But
because the pressure's on Matt Luke. Mississippi State's not winning six games.
No, they're going to have a very good year.
You have to remember that and the fact that, you know, they're going to be compared no matter what. I mean, yes, Luke had the interim year that Moorhead didn't, but the two coaches are going to be compared. And if Moorhead's winning 10 games, like I expect him to, and Luke's winning six, there's going to be an insane amount of pressure put on him in December and in February when it comes to recruiting.
Have all the incoming freshmen reported to Oxford?
Not all of them yet. Like I reported this week, Cam White didn't make it. He's at Northwest. He'll play there this year. There's some rumors about some other schools who kind of got in the picture right after he signed. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I'm not sure if Ole Miss is even going to recruit him again, to be honest with you. I mean, he was a good prospect, had a really good Mississippi-Alabama game. But it just – I don't know if the need is there at safety, you know, especially with another JUCO kid – and with, you know, seeing how he kind of handled everything, you know, not exactly being honest with coaches and everything. But like I said, you know, several of the kids are there. Hamilton Hall is on campus. Elijah Moore, Miles Battle, and several of the other high profile ones were already here when they enrolled in the spring. So
when you look at the top 10 players in the state of Mississippi as of today, who do you feel definitely ends up signing with Ole Miss?
See, I'm going with no one.
No one, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going on the record as saying anyone is definitely going anywhere because, number one, it's May. Number two, they still have to play this season. And number three, there's a lot of relationships and coaching changes that could take place that could alter the entire landscape of the state. Obviously, you had Mississippi State lose a coach a couple weeks ago. And then there's also some other things, you know, if – let's say, for instance, Hugh Freeze ends up on an SEC staff come December. They're likely going to push for some of the kids that he had relationships with in the class of 2019, the Jerrion Jones, the Brandon Turnage, those kids.
Yeah.
They are at least – they'll be interested highly in whatever school Freeze ends up at.
Hallelujah. what? Moorhead staff at State, is it stronger on the recruiting trail than Ole Miss? Grizzly Reb 89 wants to know.
No. I mean, I don't – you can't say that for a fact. I mean, what Moorhead did was crazy smart. What he did, obviously, being a Yankee like myself, you know, he hired coaches.
You played for the Yankees?
he hired people who had been head coaches in the Sun Belt and at schools around the area – in an effort to, you know, maintain and to grow the relationships that Mullen may have left behind or strained before he left. Because when Mullen left, he had so many kids committed who weren't able to stay committed, and there was a lot of relationship building that needed to be done. And, you know, hiring Joey Jones and the old coach at Louisiana Lafayette, those were great moves. Mark Hudspeth is his name. You know, those were great moves. And then Ole Miss hiring, you know, Charles Clark, John Somerall was a great hire for them. You know, those are the hires that are going to, you know, impact you heavily on the recruiting trail. You know, Somerall's really, really, really heavily invested in the state of Alabama and the state of Louisiana, while Clark is more of a national guy, the state of Texas, the state of Florida, a little bit of Georgia. So, but with Joey Jones and Hudspeth and the other coaches that Mississippi State has, including Charles Huff, who, you know, that's really what has interested Eric Gray. Sorry to get off on a little tangent, but Eric Gray is so intrigued with the fact that Charles Huff coached Saquon Barkley. And Saquon Barkley, obviously at Penn State, number two overall pick in the draft.
Yeah.
He's so high on Mississippi State, almost partially due to that. And until he sees the way that Mississippi State runs their offense and seeing them run the ball as much or as little as they do, you know, he's going to remain heavily interested in Mississippi State. And that's partially due to the coaching staff that Moorhead was able to hire.
You know, when you mentioned Yankees, every single, I have no idea what you just said, because you mentioned Yankees, and I immediately start I do this thing in my mind every time. I can't watch them. I can't do anything about them because the Yankees come on or whatever, and I see Gleyber Torres, and I go down this rabbit hole of, was it worth it? Was it worth it? Was it worth it? And I'm like, it was worth it, but 10 years, will it really be worth it? And I do that in my head, just so you know, I have no idea what you just said, because mentally I'm so weak that I hear Gleyber Torres, and I mean, I hear Yankees, and I think Gleyber Torres, and I do this mental exercise about the 2016 World Series, and could they have gotten Chapman for less? What if they had just gotten a different closer instead of Chapman? And that's what I do. It's awful.
I don't think it was worth it. It won't be in 5 years, at least.
Chance it won't be in five. Today, it's easy to go, yeah, it was worth it because they got the World Series.
Right.
And they don't win the World Series without Chapman or a closer of his caliber.
Right, and they burnt Chapman as much as they could.
Well, that was fine. I have no problem with that. I mean, yeah, that was – sure. That was smart. As we start to wrap up, you've talked about Kenyon Green and Devontae Dobbs.
Yeah, I mean, what was it? The Friday before Memorial Day, all these top schools lists are coming out. And I guess kids don't realize that the Friday before a holiday news dump is supposed to be like where you drop bad news.
Yeah.
Kids were committing, dropping top schools lists.
Yep.
Hudson Henry, who many had thought Ole Miss led for.
I didn't.
Dropped a top five without Ole Miss in it.
He's going to Arkansas.
His last name's Henry, so he better. I mean, there's a take two on the Rivals.com homepage about that. But it's just interesting to see, you know, around this time last year, kids were still gaining offers and excited to go to camps to get more offers. But now, because of the early signing period, early official visits and everything, you've got kids dropping top schools lists, making commitments to schools such as Northwestern and Vanderbilt and Texas Tech, schools like that. And instead of, you know, holding out and waiting for that big offer, they have to jump early, because if they don't jump early, Northwestern could see a kid at camp and they offer him and he has a committable offer, and then that kid from Texas has no spot to go.
You've mentioned Jaron Handy, you've mentioned Derek Hall, you've mentioned Jamon Gordon. Is that the Auburn staff? Is that basically the tie there?
You could say the Auburn staff, or you could be more invested and say Marcus Woodson.
Okay.
Woodson has placed such a high priority on the state of Mississippi that it might actually hurt them a little bit in the state of Alabama, because you've got so many top targets in the state of Mississippi that some of those Alabama kids who they normally offer don't have offers yet. And when those kids don't have offers yet, high school coaches get upset. And when high school coaches get upset, boosters get upset. So if Woodson isn't able to land at least two or three kids in the state of Mississippi, they don't even have to be top 15 kids. Just have to be kids that are SEC caliber. There's going to be some pressure on him going into next year.
Give me updates on the tight end from Provine, Russell, and also Zion Logue. I was
from
close.
Lebanon,
was
Tennessee.
Close.
He was at the Rivals camp in Nashville. Did really well. He plays defensive end. Ole Miss likes him on the offensive line, which he's not too high on, but if he gets the chance to play in the SEC, you know, he's kind of just like, you know, I want to play football. He'll be on campus this weekend. He'll camp, I believe, at both defense and offense. And then with Russell, I think that's a typo from Naples Believer. It's the recruitment of Russell from Provine. That's the Mississippi State commit who's coming this weekend. It'll be big to have him on campus. I'm not putting him on flip watch, but he's on precautionary flip watch, I guess you could call it.
Precautionary flip watch.
That's right. Not precautionary commit watch like the thing with N'Kobe was in the spring. But with Russell, you know, it's about relationships, and it's about seeing his versatility as a defensive end and a linebacker. If he's able to put more weight on, he would be a four-star defensive end. But the way he's set up right now, he's more of the fringe defensive end / linebacker.
So precautionary flip watch would be sort of like DEFCON 2, DEFCON 3.
It would be like the moderate terror watch, terrorism level.
Gotcha.
You know, there's
a potential for a threat.
That's right.
But there's not a known threat.
Right. Exactly. And I would say
a tornado watch.
Yes. The
conditions are favorable for a tornado, but there is no tornado.
Yes, it's a tornado watch. And there's a lot of those here. I get kind of scared sometimes.
Yeah, you should. They're real.
But yes, that would be what I would say. I would say more of the warning, or, you know, the not even advisory, the warning, I would say, is Mingo. And getting Mingo on campus again, he's the one I have on commitment watch.
Last one, Bauer one says, why is everyone somewhat successfully recruiting Louisiana except Ole Miss?
It's May. Again, it's May 31st.
I'll answer this question. Alexandria South belongs to LSU, and unless you have some significant tie to a kid, you're not getting him. Alexandria North is under-recruited.
What area is that?
That is Monroe, Shreveport, Ruston, Mendon, Homer, that area. It's under-recruited by other schools because they assume it's LSU territory. That being said, it's hard to go into those places and get those kids if LSU really wants them. And if you really want them, the odds are LSU really wants them too. And you run the risk of losing them late because there is some local pressure. But the local pressure in Monroe is not the same as the local pressure in, say, Lafayette or Thibodeau or Lake Charles to go to LSU. It's different. You can get those players. You've got to identify them early. It's one of the reasons Nick Saban has done so well. He has some Louisiana ties, and they do a great job of identifying those players before other people do. And they get the claws in them, and then that's that.
Claws?
Claws.
I like the way you put that. Is that a clause or a clause?
Like both. Both. They get clauses and claws.
I mean, everybody's going to be trying to recruit Louisiana with the uncertainties with Ed Orgeron as the season progresses. I mean, you've got...
Well, and it's just home to such a unique brand of human.
Louisiana is?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Louisianians are... sophisticated, phenomenal athletes, intellectual, diverse.
Are you talking about yourself, or are you talking about
I'm about people from Louisiana as a whole. They have they're adaptable. They have a unique ability to adapt to different settings. That's unlike anything else in the world.
Louisiana is a special place. I was there this spring. I spent some time in.
Where'd you go?
What was it? New Orleans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in Metairie and all around that.
Oh yeah.
That causeway, is that what it's called?
There's a causeway. Yeah.
I was petrified.
Oh, that was your first time on Lake Pontchartrain.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, I was scared for my life. I was so afraid I was gonna look at my phone and drift into the ocean.
Well, you know, I'm going to give you some advice. You don't need to be driving looking at your phone. That is becoming as I drive around, that is becoming more and more of a problem. People are just like doing this with their phones. I'm like, no, there's a road, and you're driving a giant hunk of metal.
You got a point.
I do have a point there.
You have a serious point.
We'll end on that. I will encourage you not to, you know, I'm going to break something to you here as we finish. It's okay if you're 5 minutes late on something. It's all right.
That's easy for you to say.
It is easy for me to say because it's true. All right, we're going to stop there. We gave you 48 minutes, almost all of it recruiting, a little bit of Gleyber Torres, a little bit of Louisiana history, and that was about it. So our thanks to the people at Billy's Pecans. Our thanks to Russell Johnson. He'll be back sometime next week. We'll get an update on how the camps are going, what's going on, what's happening in the camps. A big 10 days or so starting Friday, really, on the camp circuit. So we'll be back with another edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans next week. Until then, take care.